All right, you're back in the DFSR here with our MLB podcast for Friday, July 28th. I'm Doug Norrie. That is
James Davis.
And we're from DailyFantasySportsRankings.com here to break down a full Friday in baseball, every game going in the evening slate. Before we get started, buddy, I have a quick question for you. Well, actually, it's not a question. It's just a statement, a fact that I'm going to have you respond to. Last night, I had a dream where I just basically woke up and did the podcast. Yeah. And then I actually woke up from my dream. Where would you put that in? Like, if you were going to psychoanalyze
most depressing that dream. Dreams.
What's that?
Most depressing dreams.
Is that what it is? Just most depressing? Like, just a super depressing dream? Like, I have no imagination at this point beyond just, like, I'm just dreaming about the everyday nuts and bolts of my life.
Yeah, just, like, most boring dreams. Like, least ambitious dreams. I don't know.
Yeah, it probably means I need to go out and maybe spread my wings a little bit more and just do something else. I'm not sure what that's going to be.
Get your brain active, dude. Start thinking about pouring your heart and soul into some other thing besides just the pod. I know the thing about that the people don't know about you, Doug, is that you just put so much of yourself into this podcast that it's just like you bleed and sweat and.
Well, I sweat because I have to close all the windows in my office to keep the noise
down.
So
you don't have air conditioning yet, but someday. Well, we've talked about that. You'll be able to get air conditioning someday.
Buddy, when you live at the beach, you don't need to have air conditioning. Okay. So we have a full Friday in baseball here. A lot to discuss. A lot of good pitchers going that's just going to start us off. And I just wonder, the pitchers going here today, the list is it's not long. There's plenty of guys we can pick on here. But there's plenty of, I don't know, say, ace level to above average arms. Where do you think you would start here, cash games? Do you think there's a guy that's going to kind of crop to the top in terms of chalk? Do you think it's going to be kind of spread out just because of the names? Is there someone that kind of sticks out to you among the list? I have a pretty long list. I know you have a couple guys too. But who do you think we'd put at the top here?
Yeah, I think I'd start with Alex Wood. Wood is, first of all, probably just arguably the best pitcher on the slate overall. He doesn't happen to be the most expensive, which is nice. You know, we've talked ad nauseum about Wood's kind of growth for this year, but he was good last year too. You know, had the 3.3 xFIP last year, the 2.8 xFIP this year. It's quite a good matchup against the Giants. The Giants this season have been quite a bit worse against left-handed pitching simply because they feature so many guys who are just worse against that side of the plate. And the 2.94 WOBA for them is just fantastic. It's also a really excellent park. Giants, one of the lowest implied totals on the day. Really from top to bottom, got a huge money line thanks to Matt Moore pitching for the Giants. It's just a great spot, and he's 10,000. We also like about Wood, I think that, you know, he had been struggling with those pitch count things, and, you know, they can go up and down for the Dodgers, but he did go out there and throw 100 pitches for them the last time around, which was his highest total on the season. So I think all the indicators pointing in the right direction, assuming you're willing to ignore, as I am, the fact that he actually got blown up against Atlanta. I don't know. I'm a Wood guy today. I'm going to have Wood tonight. That's what I'm saying.
It's so funny that Wood is still. That still makes me chuckle. I chuckled internally a little
what
bit
do you
about
mean?
That.
Why are you chuckling?
I do like the pitch count thing is a great sign. He is, like you said, coming off by far his worst game of the year, last game against Atlanta, where he was also like a chalk pitcher, I'm pretty sure, on that slate as well. I'm hoping that turns people off to him. The industry's gotten pretty smart about this kind of thing at this point. Yeah. Like, I don't think that really sways at least a lot of like where the bigger money is going to go in terms of pitching. And the Dodgers, like, what helps these Dodgers guys too with these money lines is like their offense is all, they're just like a really good team. And when you have that kind of, mashup of just like a really good pitcher plus the bats are just good, like, you know, it's like the opposite of like when Samardzija pitches, let's say, right? It's like, sure. Well, Samardzija's been decent. He's been unlucky. I know people, whatever. His peripherals have been very good.
You're really going to bring up Samardzija today, Doug? He's blindsided.
Another guy just can't quit.
I'm trying to do a podcast that can't even focus anymore.
just too mad about it. I think it was a great last game. But when you have just also just like a good team behind you, those money lines, it happens with the Cubs as well. Like, these money lines just creep up higher, and then it just pushes your expectations so much higher. Now, I think he'll ends up being the chalk here. He's just too cheap on FanDuel, where he's only, what is he, 10-5? I'm just sorry.
He's 10,000 on FanDuel. Keuchel's 10-5.
Yeah, 10,000 on FanDuel. It's just too cheap if he's going to throw 100 pitches. I'm all over it there. The list after him, like, if you wanted to pivot to someone else on FanDuel here, I think someone's in a good spot, a starting pitcher too. Let's start rolling down some of these other pitchers.
Yeah, I mean, well, let's get Keuchel out of the way first, because I think he actually will have pretty reasonable ownership tonight. And I think that's potentially a mistake. I don't mind him going from Houston out to Detroit from a ballpark perspective, but Keuchel's kind of a weird pitcher. So Detroit, you know, get them out of the way, they're kind of just like a league average matchup. But what I don't like about Keuchel at these prices, I think, is that while he like for practical purposes in terms of actually getting guys out when he goes up onto the mound is excellent. Like he's just going to go out there and go fairly deep into games and, you know, just generate a lot of outs thanks to his ground ball percentage. That's going to keep guys off base. He can get a lot of double plays, almost like a historic ground ball rate, a pitcher I'm actually really, really fond of. Just it becomes a problem when you're going to pay 10-5 for a guy who just strikes out 8 guys per 9, and where that actually might be sort of on the high end. You know, this is his second highest K per 9 total of his career, just behind his 2015 season, which was his best. And so, again, he's great. The xFIP is great. He's a really good pitcher. But I'm just not sure you want to run that lefty into kind of a right-handed meat grinder in Detroit, especially the top of that lineup, when the upside just doesn't feel tremendous here.
No, I think I'm with you. I think the only reason I probably the only thing I disagree with you on that whole statement is the ownership. I actually don't think he'll be that high owned, mostly because of the existence of Alex Wood there. They're the same, essentially the same price, basically. Or even the fact that he's 500 more on FanDuel, they're the same price basically on DraftKings. I think if it wasn't, if Wood wasn't around, it maybe is more of a discussion. But the fact that they're the same prices and Wood is just like a much, much better play in my mind, that's the only reason I don't think his ownership will be that high.
I think that's the case, you might expect. I think a lot of people
in cash games, less than 10% easy for
me. See, the thing about for safety purposes though is that he's like the anti-Wood, right? Like he goes basically high sixes innings as a matter of course, and Wood can barely stay on the mound. I don't know. I mean, maybe, yeah. I mean, I don't think it'll be a more higher owned than Wood. I think he will draw some ownership percentage.
Yeah, I would put it like at 5% in cash games would be my guess. I'd be willing to go a little bit lower. I just think he's just too expensive. I'm with you. I like him as a pitcher. I just think the price
tough
is.
Guy. Oh, you're a tough guy.
We can bet about it if you want. You made a case sort of for kind of against Keuchel. Who else after that?
Well, so let's pivot over to DraftKings, I think, because, you know, I think I'm just going to play Wood in my cash game, so I'm always hesitant to recommend guys that I won't play personally. I think on DraftKings, you're going to be in a spot where you're going to be choosing between a couple of different guys that have had good peripherals but haven't backed it up with excellent actual, like, kind of ERA results this season. And the two guys that jumped to the top of the list for me are Danny Salazar and Masahiro Tanaka. Now, both of them have, my dog agrees, by the way, he's chiming in the background.
Yeah, he's into it.
Both of them have the same issue where the peripherals are excellent. I mean, they're excellent in different ways. Like Salazar is back to having these 12 K per nine, but 4 walks per nine. So good luck actually trying to watch that game. Like that's going to be pretty painful. But Tanaka, like everything from his line peripherally looks like a guy who should just be having a solid season. 9 Ks per 9, 2 walks per 9, you know, just 50% ground ball rate, which is in the top 30 in the league, except for the home run to fly ball rate in the BABIP are just very out of line for what he's done historically. So he's at a 23% home run to fly ball rate, which would be the worst in the majors if he were able to do that for the whole season, and a 317 BABIP. So assuming that that regresses back to the mean, he's just kind of a good pitcher. I would guess he's arguably safer than Salazar thanks to the lower walk rate, and just has a great matchup here against the Rays. You know, the Rays, they can hit certainly, but the strikeout rate of around 25%, they've been hovering around the top in the league against righties as well. So I like Tanaka tonight. I think he's safer than Salazar for cash game purposes. I do think both of them have some significant blow up potential, but who do you prefer out of those two?
I'm kind of with you. I'm sort of on the fence for sort of the same reasons. It's absolutely insane for a pitcher to have a quarter of his fly balls turn into home runs, which is basically what Tanaka has done this season.
If you could do that, you would be the pitcher everyone would want for the home run derby, because then every person you pitch to would just win the home run derby, right?
Like, right. And just, to me, it's just not sustainable, right? Like it shouldn't be sustainable. Now, one concern I do have is that the Rays will feature some lefty bats here, and they also just added Duda to the middle of the lineup, which is like sort of exactly what they were looking for, like that big power bat in the middle of the lineup. It doesn't like dramatically improve their team, but it definitely improves them, right? And so the fact that this game is in Yankee Stadium, where he's going to have to face, I mean, roughly one, you know, Smith, Dickerson, Morrison, Duda, and then I guess to some degree Brad Miller, that's just like not the easiest group of guys to run through. Yeah. And that would probably be why I would probably go to Salazar. Salazar came back from the DL for his last game 5 days ago. He was excellent. So he won 7 innings, 1 hit, 8 Ks. That's going to be the best game he pitches all year, and it's probably not going to be close just because his profile is just not the kind of guy that doesn't walk anybody, right? Like, he was able to do that against a full righty group in Toronto. But, yeah, I think I probably go Oh, man, it's really close. I really can't decide. I don't know. There's some case to play them both, especially for tournaments. Whoa. But I think maybe just Tanaka is cheaper. $7,800 on Tanaka. I think that's probably a good enough reason. Like, just take the discount. You're getting a discount on the idea that he's run so bad in the BABIP in the home runs. And so if you can grab him on – if you can grab him for that reason, for, you know, maybe he should be more like a $9,000 pitcher on DraftKings and he's $7,800, I think that's probably a good enough reason just to take him.
Like, yeah, if all Salazar's run bad too. Like, you know, they've both been pretty unlucky. I think some Tanaka, for me, also just has the higher floor on that price because while Salazar can just go in there and just start wiping cats out, he also can just – walk five guys in five innings and not make it out of the fifth inning, you know.
Oh, so, man, I've rostered some epically bad Salazar performances. Like, yeah, I mean, everyone basically has. If you played DFS long enough, you've run into a Salazar game, probably two, and they are really something to behold when it's not working for him, because it's just firing dead straight fastballs over the middle of the plate that get absolutely jacked, or just walking the ballpark, or combining those two things. And so, like, he's had some, like, one or two inning performances where he hasn't been able to get away from it. We're just, like, pitching hurt. He's another guy, actually, that's pitched hurt because I think he's, like, underreported, like, how he's feeling at times. And so, yeah, he's just kind of a mess. If you've done this long enough, you do have some, like, some Danny Salazar PTSD, I think. So it's probably the other thing that has me going toward Tanaka, although that's not really a rational point of view. What about guys like – so a couple other guys I have here. One is Jose Quintana. Quintana gets traded to the Cubs. He was sort of struggling this season, and with the White Sox, the walk rate was sort of up. He pitched like one final good game with the White Sox, and then he's come to the Cubs and pitched 13 innings. He has 19 Ks and two walks. Do you think the mere fact of just walking across town and being on a much, much better team was enough to, like, kind of change him back into a good pitcher? Do you think it's sustainable? Like, how do you view a guy like Quintana?
The short answer is no. I don't think it's sustainable. You know, Quintana's always been one of these guys who has been a better real-life pitcher than he has been a fantasy pitcher, just because he's really never crested above 8 Ks per 9, at least in any kind of sustainable way. I don't suspect that in his age 28 season he's going to have figured it all out, or, like, you know, you walk onto the new team and the myth of them being, like, you know, the grizzled old pitching coach comes out of the bullpen and it's like, put your arm here, son, and all of a sudden he's striking out 19 guys every 13 innings. So I think it's... I would just trust his historical track record, which is always my boring answer that hopefully people are used to by now. I think there's still some upside there, don't get me wrong. I think it's intriguing. I think, obviously, he's going to benefit from pitching against more pitchers themselves. And certainly, like, you know, one of his big bugaboos in the past is giving up the home run thanks to his relatively low ground ball rate. So there's things to like about him moving to the NL. I just don't think that I just don't really buy this transcendent turnaround. Like, I just don't think he's that good.
I think you're still buying him. Never mind. He's not as cheap as I thought. So he's $9,800. I don't mind him here against a Milwaukee team that will strike out a lot. I like him significantly less than the guys that we've already mentioned up until this point. So he's further down the list. It's always a good, like, the moving to the NL thing matters. Moving to a much smarter organization matters too. I'm not sure, like, it's not worth like 2 Ks per nine or anything like that. So I'm not trying to overstate what it means to, like, play for the Cubs and Astros as opposed to, like, I don't know, the White Sox, frankly. But I like the spot here. He has the bats behind him that kind of boost some of his money line concerns that he was running to with the White Sox. I don't mind him as a – I like him more as like a tournament pitcher here just because, you know, I think more people – let's say this. More people will play Salazar at 9,500 on DraftKings. I think pivoting to Quintana at the same-ish price, like with the same kind of lineup, if you wanted to put something like that together, I think that that's a fine move just because he'll just be less owned than a guy like Salazar. What about a couple other just like kind of bigger name guys who've had, you know, varying levels of success or a struggle this year? David Price, Robbie Ray, either of these guys interest you? Ray's facing the Cardinals and Price is facing the Royals.
Well, I'm not going to play Price for cash games, and I don't think he really has shown the upside for me to be interested for big tournaments, but I think Ray's actually very intriguing for big tournaments for kind of a counterintuitive reason, which is that he's very similar to Salazar peripherally, except he's been worse in his last couple starts, and he's more expensive than Salazar. So I think when you take those factors together, I could see his ownership percentage being a lot lower than you might normally expect for a guy with such tremendous upside. And, you know, facing the Cardinals, they're basically league average against left-handed pitching in terms of both WOBA and strikeouts. It's quite frankly, just an okay spot. Gets him out of his home park, which is always nice. And yeah, I think the fact that he's more expensive, like he's 1,000 more than Salazar and FanDuel, nobody's going to play him over there. So I think he's interesting for big tournament purposes. I don't picture myself playing Price, though. Even though it's like a fine spot, I wouldn't hate it. Like, definitely not on a small slate. I think he's a good cash game sub in if you can get him on a small slate somewhere. But yeah, I'm not not over the moon about Price.
Price is, I don't know if you've seen this, but Price is in like some kind of like weird feud with Dennis Eckersley, because Eckersley is the color man for the Red Sox, and like they got in a fight in the team plane. This is the kind of thing that probably happens when you yourself have just struggled for the season. Like, this seems like a weird place to go mentally. Like, he like accosted Eckersley on the plane, or just like he screamed at him or something like that. He struggled this year.
Eckersley said the Price is wrong B word and then punched him.
Well, I think Eckersley, they were just like saying the guy struggled and Price didn't want to hear maybe the truth. I'm not,
I did not.
I can't, I don't know. It seems very childish, but Price is, he's had fits where he's been able to strike guys out and like kind of avoided some of the runs. He, last game wasn't the case. He let up 5 runs against the Angels in 5 innings. So he just looks a little bit different than he has in the past. He's not able to go nearly as long into games as he has. Like, he struggled with some pitch count stuff. I like the, I'm with you on the strikeout upside of Ray. A few other guys in the league have like 11.5 K per 9 upside. Also, if you guys have...
And it looks like his real talent, too. It's not like one of these guys, like Quintana or whoever, that's just done it over a short sample and is kind of running hot. Like, he's definitely a true talent, double-digit K per 9 guy.
It's just the walks that kill him. Like, he just... Yeah. The walks over 4 per 9, that's just horrible. And so, that's really... This is the thing that keeps his overall... Some of his expectation down, just because he just can't go as long in the games. Any other names I missed here? I think we covered most of, like, the above average to really good arms. I'm not sure if there's anybody I missed.
Yeah, no, it's pretty comprehensive, I think. I don't think you're going to want to go too deep on the super cheap guys. I'm not really intrigued by any of the guys there. There's quite a number of them. I think then, basically, after you get out of that super cheap, won't even consider territory, then you're kind of in the middle tier, and we talked about a lot of the good plays there. So I think we got to the bottom of this one, Doug.
I think you could see some people just talk. I don't personally think I'm going to go there, but I could see people talking themselves into Tejeron only because the Phillies have been a pretty good matchup to target this season. Not for me. He struggled a little bit too much this season. He looks to be moving sort of in the wrong direction on his.
I don't want to be like one of those never again people. And by the way, we were talking internally yesterday about instituting a filtering system where if you say in the chat, "I'm never going to play this guy again," that we automatically restrict that player from your player pool, so you can put your money where your mouth is. So,
yeah, I would absolutely love it. That would go along. That like coincides to me is like if so and so gets elected, I'm moving to another country. Like, I want those people to pay up on those bets. Like, I want to see. Like, I need to see. I'm not a political guy, so like I don't like political rah rah for anybody. But the people that say they're going to move to another country, like, I kind of want that. And that it falls into the same category as me. It's like, okay, dude. Take it easy. Like, time to move. Okay, well, you said, I remember, like, back on July 1st, you said you were never playing Manny Machado again, and I just want to let you know that he's automatically X'd out from any lineup that you can put in for the rest of the season.
Yeah, I'm sorry. So. You just can't. Well, this would have happened to everyone for Bryce Harper from last season, and then all the users that have stuck with us over the course of that year who said they would never play Bryce Harper again would just be sitting there scrambling, trying to spend the extra $4,700. Kind of love it.
Oh, we have some users that would be out of players at this point. They would, or at least out of players, like in the
4, oh, we love you guys, numbers. By the way. We're just
giving I'm just having fun. I think anyone.
By the way, Doug, deeply political. Just don't let him fool you. I know he says that because he doesn't want to get the site in hot water, and definitely, like, no, if you do find any of his political opinions on the internet, please don't assume that speaks for all of DFSR. Just want to throw that out there.
I don't think I've ever put a political opinion on the internet.
Just please don't assume that what Doug thinks represents all of us, because that's definitely not the case. That's all.
All right, that's enough political talk here. Give us a sponsor before we get on the stacks.
Sure, Doug. I'd like to talk about FantasyFactor.com. Fantasy Factor is a great place to go if you want to play between, say, $5 and $50 a night, and you just don't want to play against DFS pros. They run smaller contests, the traditional salary cap game you're used to, but they have, you know, very fair prices. Good software, easy to interact with. And also, if you use promo code DFSR, you can get a 25% no drip bonus. So that means you deposit $100, you get $25 for free that you can put right into play right away. Check them out. Tell them we sent you. Good people over there. And now our longest time sponsor. So FantasyFactor.com. Thanks a lot to them. And thanks to you for checking them out.
Let's talk. So we talked a lot about a bunch of good pitchers. There are some bad ones going here, some true stains, actually, on this list. But where do you think we could start stacking for cash games? Right now, when we run lineups, some of the plays do look kind of spread out between a bunch of different teams. You know, for instance, like last night on a short slate, you get, you know, trying to get all the Cubs into a lineup. Let's say that doesn't seem to be the case tonight. Is there a team that kind of, you know, sticks out to you as being in a better spot than others?
Well, Vegas is to be believed, and our system is to be believed. The Rangers are the one that come to the top of this list now. it kind of seems like we played the Rangers every single night of the season. I don't know if you feel that way too.
But. I feel that way. Certain guys. I mean, certain guys are just like are so cheap at positions that are like not the easiest to fill. We're probably a little bullish on some of them, but Odor, Luke Roy, yeah, like these guys. The system's probably just been a little bullish on them for the course of the season. I would say, but
the issue with him is that they sometimes bat him down in the lineup, and or frequently, I should say, bat him lower in the lineup, and it always feels awkward when you're playing mostly guys who bat between first and fourth, and then you have a guy batting seventh or eighth. Like, that doesn't feel good. I'm not sure if it'll land on Luke Roy for tonight, but yeah, I still think the Rangers, like, if they're actually going to be the team with the highest implied total on the day, and a lot of their guys are cheap, it's going to be tough for our system to get away, and at least not, you know, pick and choose a couple that have the best prices. So I actually don't mind Odor either. I think he does have more talent than he's demonstrated this season, and while the on base percentage makes it a little troubling, certainly gives him a low floor, I just don't mind the play, I don't think.
Yeah, it's just the thing, Tillman's such trash, right? Like, Tillman's, yeah. He strikes out six and a half guys per nine. He walks 4.5 guys per nine. His XFIP is over 5.5. He stinks. And
he's like 2 home runs an inning. Or an inning. That would be a lot. 2 home runs every 9 innings. Like, he's just, yeah, it's a dream spot. The Rangers are good hitters. It makes me frustrated to keep playing teams when I know it's correct and it hasn't turned around. Like, that's the one thing that drives me bananas about baseball, but I think he gets them.
And the thing with Tillman, like you say, he gives up a lot of home runs. Like, so the difference between him and Tanaka is that, like, so Tanaka doesn't allow a ton of fly balls, but like they're just all turning into home runs. Tillman just allows a ton of fly balls, and then they simultaneously go over the fence. And like, so his home run percentage rate, home run to fly ball percentage, is actually less than the guy. I'm only comparing him to Tanaka because I was just saying about guys who maybe like were running bad with home runs. Tillman is probably still running a little bit bad, but his profile is much of the guy that is like, this is just going to happen to him. Like, when you let up a lot of fly balls and don't strike people out, you are just going to have seasons where more of those balls turned into home runs. I think I'm totally fine. The whole top of that order, Chu, Mazzara, even Andrews hitting from the other side, like in the wrong side of his platoon split, all the Rangers here in really good spots. Yeah, another guy in that I'm real bad category, and I'm facing a team that has a lot of good bats, Derek Holland. Holland is in that Tillman class of doesn't really strike enough guys out, has an XFIP up over 5, you know, creeping toward the mid-5s. And there's another guy who lets up a ton of home runs, like more than 2 home runs per nine this season. He just is bad. He's another guy that just, we see a lot of these pitchers, these teams need to just have pitchers that can go out there and sort of have the arm strength to pitch, you know, more than or around 5 innings, just so, you know, the fans can buy tickets and people can come to the ballpark and just see the team lose. But Holland definitely fits that category. Indians are a little bit pricey just because they've been good for most of the season, and that just kind of drives the price up across the board on some of these bats. But it's really hard to argue with the matchup, at least just because Holland, there's some bad pitchers on this slate. We know we mentioned one before, but he's another one of these guys that he just lets up too many home runs. So if you can get guys like Encarnacion or Santana, again, they're a little expensive. Jose Ramirez is a little expensive too. Guy are getting cheap, coming cheap. If he were to hit like at the top of the lineup tonight, that'd be a nice spot. But Indians, you probably overpaying a little bit for them, but it's hard to argue with the matchup.
Yeah, I totally agree. You know, Holland, he's one of those guys, he kind of had a name when he was coming up, but the results simply haven't been there. The home runs are through the roof. He's just a fly ball pitcher without strikeout stuff, and that's just not an equation for success, particularly when you're up against a good hitting team like the Indians. So some other stacks I've been looking at today. Tell me what you think about the Red Sox, because we're showing some Red Sox right now in our system. Vegas is pretty bullish, but Vargas is one of these guys that the casual baseball fan is talking about as a turnaround story this year, right? The low 3s ERA, he's 12-4 on the season. The Royals have been kind of promoting his successes. What are you thinking about, you know, 2 to 3 Red Sox showing up in each of our optimal lineups right now?
Oh, I love it. Vargas stinks. The much ballyhooed turnaround that he had wasn't really a thing, right? Like, he's back down. He's actually just completely in lockstep with what he's been doing for his career. And actually, the only reason that his K rate is a little higher than like what he's done for the rest of his career is because he ran so hot on Ks in like the first 3 games that he pitched or something like that. Even with those big K games, he's down to 6.6 Ks per nine. The XFIP is at like 5, so almost a 2 full runs higher than the ERA.
Ks in his first 20 innings in the majors.
How many was it?
23 Ks in his first 20 innings.
Right. Okay, so there you go. So he takes those 23 Ks, and like, so that really actually speaks to how few guys he's been K-ing of recently, because with that, for that K rate to drop that much, that was like, you know, a third of, no, excuse me, that was like a fifth of his innings at a K per nine. So he's been even worse in the short, even worse than what he's showing for his full season. Now I'm fine with the Red Sox here. Vargas, he's been not good for his career, and he's still not good, and don't let that 3 ERA. And actually, he has a 3 ERA this year and the 2 ERA from last year. So he's got, well, that was only 12 innings, but so he's got like 100.
2 years. 2 years of
126 innings of like around a 3 ERA is just not, it's just kind of smoke and mirrors to me.
I'll take your XFIP, OBP, your newfangled stats, Doug. Give me the wins, the W's. Jason Vargas, 12 wins this year. Guy's a gamer. Nah, Jason Vargas is horrible. I mean, even in the last three starts, unfortunately, we've been, it's funny because this is one of those situations where we've been saying the same thing all season and people like pushed back. But then just after his two bad starts in the two starts prior to the last one, where he gives up 12 total runs across like seven innings, just awful. Then all of a sudden now everyone knows how bad Vargas is. It's like, people are so reactionary and so poor at looking at the underlying peripherals and whatnot that it serves as a good reminder to know that there's still a pretty big edge in playing daily fantasy baseball.
No, completely. And you just can't, not always. Look, there's guys that could just do kind of like change their colors over the course of a season. If you see some like dramatic changes in, you know, what their pitch velocities are, or, you know, maybe they just have gone to a new pitch, or there's just some kind of different approach. Vargas really didn't have that. He just kind of got lucky at the beginning of the season with running into some Ks. And that is over now, and he's just back to being who he was. Give me one more team that we can kind of throw out here as a stack before we get out of here.
I think there's a couple of different good options that you can consider after that. And, you know, again, I'll remind our listeners at home that when I'm trying to come up with good stats, I'm mostly just, especially for big tournaments, I'm trying to suss out the pitchers with the greatest blowout potential, the ones that can just go in there, pitch like two innings to get them back to the minors. I'm looking at Austin Pruitt pitching against the Yankees today. The Yankees obviously have been one of the better teams in the majors against right-handed pitching this year. They feature a number of, you know, good lefties or good switch hitters. Now, some of those guys are banged up and whatnot, but you could still get Gardner at the top of that lineup. Aaron Judge obviously can hit any side of the plate. He's expensive enough to where he'll be relatively low-owned. And Austin Pruitt just, you know, he hasn't been good in the majors. He doesn't really have that much of a minor league track record. You know, just kind of middling out in the 6.5 Ks per nine in the minors, so I think he's pretty poor. Again, you're going to pay for it. You're not really, excuse me, getting away with anything for cash game purposes, maybe outside of like Sanchez, but still a good target game. Just some other ones that I won't go too deep on, but names you should be aware of. The Blue Jays are up against Parker Bridwell. Bridwell, another guy who's just kind of a non-prospect journeyman type who's now in the majors and pitching poorly. His line almost looks identical to Vargas's, actually, with a 4.9 xFIP and a 3 ERA, so don't be scared of him. And then you got Sal Romano pitching, and Romano is probably a cut below some of these other guys. So in 2015, for instance, in AA, he had 3.5 Ks per nine and 4.7 walks per nine. Romano could be one of the true disasters of pitching the majors this season. This might be your last chance in human history to get a team against him. And while we had the Marlins, I've talked about them before, they're kind of spread out in terms of their good hitters, and, you know, they're tough to stack for platoon purposes because they stagger their guys righty lefty. But yeah, another good spot there. So that's three, Doug. You asked for one more before we got out of here. Why don't you take three? Stuff them in a sack.
Well, I'm just gonna cut the other two off the end of the audio because I only asked for one, and then I'm gonna wrap the show up. And
DFSR,
then
that's just... everybody, you were back in the DFSR. Thanks, James, for telling us about only Austin Pruitt.
Only Austin Pruitt is the only guy you mentioned. All right, we're gonna get out of here for the day. DFSR.com/MLB free 3-day trial to the projection system powered by Lineup Lab. Optimal lineups for FanDuel and DraftKings. Head over to the chat room, talk to some of our users over there. I'll be in there most of the day today talking baseball. We'll be back again Tuesday talking more MLB. Buddy, enjoy your weekend.
Don't worry about me, man. I will.